Once again, dear brethren, we carry on with our Bible study series in James, James 2, 8, verses 8 through to 13 in our Bible study series. We learned last time how our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should be without partiality. We should not look, of course, upon the clothing, or the outward exterior, or worldly honours, or worldly advantages, or gain. We should not be partial, as it were, in our judgment. And the Apostle James here, having previously condemned the sin of having undue respect of persons, which really, when we think about it, it skews our judgment in judging righteously, now moves to show us on how this can be remedied. So I've entitled today's sermon, The Royal Law of Love. The Royal Law of Love, which of course is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's word starts in verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. Of course, this is the royal law of love, isn't it? This is the fulfillment of the law to love our neighbours as we love ourselves, as it were. In fact, really, in order to love, to truly love our neighbours, we've got to love our neighbours more than ourselves, don't we? And it is called the royal law here, really because it comes from the King of Kings, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Love, who freely gave us, freely loved us, we being dead in sins, but freely sent his love upon us. And so whatever prejudices we had prior to our conversion, whatever prejudices we had on the outward flesh, as it were, we looked upon the outward performance, as it were, this royal law of love that is in Christ completely supersedes everything else. It conquers all those prejudices which we used to have. We don't look upon the exterior anymore. We look really upon the heart. That's what we look for. We show love and mercy. And so this royal law of love is not of men, as it says in this 8th verse. It's according to the scripture. And so it comes with great authority. It comes with great authority because it comes from the word of God. And so this royal love, which the apostle refers to, is no less than the royal law of love which is found in Christ. Christ, the King of Kings, is the only one to have perfectly kept this royal law of love. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The Lord Jesus Christ perfectly kept the vertical commandments, didn't he? And the horizontal commandments. He kept the vertical commandments, and he always honoured his Father. Always. Not only not having any other gods before him, him being God in the flesh, of course, but always honouring, always loving the Father. Not only not horizontally to his fellow man, lost in the flesh, horizontally, not only not stealing, but giving as well. And so he perfectly kept, as it were, both vertical and horizontal commandments, loving both God the Father and his neighbour with everything. And so really, only if we are in Christ, we will know how to fulfil this royal law of love. Only if we are in Christ, because Christ has freely loved us and given himself for us. That means, really, that we have been given that love and that grace and mercy to freely love others, even our worst enemies, as we are commanded to do so, as we, the Lord says for us to do, to love those who despitefully use you. Love your enemies. And so that's what we are to do as Christians. We are not to look upon someone out of worldly gain or worldly advantage. We are to love those, even those most despised in our midst. And we even heard, didn't we, a wonderful testimony on the Lord's Day, which I'm sure has cheered your hearts, how the Lord has saved someone really out of a terrible life and the consequences of it. And the Lord, when we think about the lives which we would have gone into if the Lord did not intercede for us, friends, it really makes us want to show such love. And hence, really, the apostle's words here. He says, ye do well, because you're now in a state of Christian liberty. Mm-hmm. We've been made, we're no longer in condemnation now. We're no longer under the law to justify. We're no longer justified by the law. Christ has made you and me free to love him and our neighbors as we are, as we ought, without partiality. And you are no longer a slave to your sin, in bondage and oppression, because you have been freely loved, who were once rebels from God. And so it says, ye do well if you fulfill the selfsame love wherein you have been loved. And so this is what the apostle is saying here to do, is that our faith really should be a faith which establishes itself in works. It's not just about words. When we're told to love people, does that manifest itself in how we treat even the worst amongst us, even rebel sinners, even poor, rich, you name it? Do we show this love to them in how we live our lives? And that's why God's word reminds us again in verse 9 to not respect persons for any worldly advantages or honours that we may get from them. But we are to speak, aren't we, righteously as it is in Christ. It says in verse 9, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And so if we look, like I said, upon persons, and we respect them for worldly honours and for worldly gain, really, and we're not willing to say the same things to someone who's in a position very high up, perhaps a counsellor, perhaps someone even higher up, we're not willing to say the same things to that person than someone who's perhaps in rags. We're perhaps a bit more picky with our words. Then we really have become judges of thoughts, haven't we? We're really being partial in a sense. We're not really loving in the sense that we are to love. We are to treat people in the same sense, with love, with righteousness and justice. So it says here, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And so we, as transgressors of the law by nature, who have been freed from sin by the love of God and the grace of God, would we seek to judge either rich or poor by the same standards which we fall short of, way short of? And of course the answer is no. We are not to respect the person of the poor, nor to honour the person of the rich. We are to judge righteously, as it says in Leviticus. Because, like I mentioned last time, that you can be poor and you can curse God for your poverty. Or you can be rich and you can forget about God. And we are those to be completely impartial. And so the Apostle James in today's study is really showing us that the whole law is to be fulfilled and that mercy should be followed as well as justice. And he says to this effect in verses 10 and 11, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Brethren, let us remember the context in which this is written in. Remember in verse 1 that our faith in the Lord Jesus must be without partiality or respect of persons. God must be gotten all the glory. And if we should offend in one point in this respect, we are guilty of all, aren't we? We are guilty of all. Why is that? Well, because if secretly we should look upon the rich, or upon the upper class, or upon someone's rank or position, as it were, with favour, and we should look upon that particular person, this would mean we would automatically look upon the poor or the lower class with disfavour, as it were. We would be prejudiced. We would relegate them, as it were, and they would see this. And this really is not obeying the law of love, is it? And in the sight of God, this is akin to spiritual murder, isn't it? In God's eyes, because we have not kept the royal law of love, but rather in our hearts and our thoughts we have promoted the one, as it were, because of worldly honours, worldly rank, worldly position, and we've delegated. We've rejected the other in our hearts. A bit like we thought about on the Lord's Day, about the Pharisee and the publican. A lot of people looked perhaps at the Pharisee as being worthy and the publican as not being worthy. But the royal law of love, you see, it doesn't look upon the outward persons, as it were. And so our faith must follow works in this respect, mustn't it? And there is another line of thinking in this respect, and it is this: if they come into our assembly, someone, remember, the assembly is talking here as matters of judgment and censorship. But if they come into our assembly, a well-to-do man or someone who outwardly is very civil, they've got a good name and everything in society, and it be clear to us that person is no adulterer. It's clear. By all these things, what's to say that he be no secret killer in his heart by trying to take us away from the doctrines of grace and liberty, which is in Christ, to a works-based religion? What's to say that that's the case? And so you remember that there were some amongst the Jews who tried to take those early believers. And they would have been sparkly clean, as it were. Outwardly, they would have been, some of them would have been in very good positions. They would have been people of renown, and they would have not committed adultery. And they wouldn't have been there would have been people who had a clean sheet, as it were. But within, really, they wanted to take those true believers, some of them, back, pull them back into a works-based religion. And so that's another line of thinking here. And so let us therefore, dear friends, be balanced and not think, as many do within a works-based religion, that our good deeds can ever outweigh our bad deeds. That's just heresy, isn't it? Mm. Many people within the works-based religion think that way, that I can somehow, if I do certain things, that I will outweigh all my bad deeds. And as if I've got an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. And we walk by faith in the royal law of love, which is in Christ. And that royal law of love, by faith, establishes the works of the life. Makes us want to fulfill this law of love. And remember that lovely text in Micah 6:8. This text has been often upon my heart recently. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. What a precious verse that is, isn't it? Micah 6:8. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And so the royal law of love, which is in Christ, teaches us not only to be just and impartial, but also to be compassionate and merciful to the poor and to those who perhaps within our societies have been prejudiced against. And for if we love those who only love us, as we thought about in Luke, if we love those who are only good to us, then what thank have we? Do not sinners do the same? Do not they love who loves them? But the royal law of love, you see, we love, and we don't look upon the outward, as it were. We try to get to the heart of the matter. And so verse 12 says, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." And so, dear brethren, as you well know, you are no longer under the law, but under grace, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law can no longer condemn you or I, Christ having fulfilled it on our behalf. As it says in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but the Spirit." Therefore, brethren, if ye indeed have been set free from the condemnation of sin, and you've been given liberty to love God as you ought through the Holy Spirit, use your liberty as to not only speak the truth as it is in Christ, but also to be doers of the truth as well. And you do well not to steal, don't you? But you do even better if ye through the law love and give as Christ has given to you. This is the point, isn't it? Is that we're not only do well if we do not steal, physically steal, but do we give to the Lord? Do we give it with not only our words, but with our deeds? Give our life to the Lord. Is love, is our faith, does it establish the works? It's not just about saying things of love. It's not about saying these things. It's about fulfilling them. Christ did not only not steal, he also gave. He gave his life. He loved. This is the fulfillment of the law. This is the royal law of love. Are we doing that? Or are we in a godly zeal seeking to fulfill the law of love? Let us not only speak without prejudice and partiality, but let us more so love without partiality as well. And in so doing, fulfill the royal law of love. Because as it says in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You're free now from having prejudice. You're free from the outside. There's no difference. You see someone who can be in a completely different walk of life, be mean, clothed, tattoos, you name it. And that converted person can be truly converted, can be saved. A bit like the Apostle Paul, really. Mm. When he was converted, they were very afraid. But when they found out he was truly converted, then he was received. And so when we're truly converted, dear friends, it makes us free. And we can look upon someone from a different background, from a different, and we can look upon them with love, as it were. And we can be doers of the word. And so you've been made God's freemen, now, brethren, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the royal law of love. And it's not just about speaking and keeping the commandments. It's about doing and delighting in the commandments. Remember in David, it's not just about keeping the commandments, it's about loving them, delighting in them, loving not only to not steal, if we never steal, but also to give, utterly to give back, as it were, in gratitude, because we are free in love. We freely love, as it were, even our enemies. And I once heard about a missionary who said that he even the worst, he came across a militia, even the worst militia, he would try to look at the militia people with the guns, he tried to picture them as babies, as it were, and really puts it into context, doesn't it? And to love, and to have this royal law of love. And so it's not just about the keeping of commandments, it's about the delighting in them. And children, you know, it's not just about obeying mum and dad, is it? You know, I really hope I never just betray just in a frigid way just to obey mum and dad. No, it's not just about that. It's about loving mum and dad. It's about delighting in mum and dad. Christ did not only obey his father, but he loved his father, didn't he? Utterly loved his father. And this is the fulfillment, isn't it? And friends, it's not just about not coveting what does not belong to us, but it's more about being content, isn't it, with what Christ has given us. And this will show to others that we're not coveting, but we're content. We're content with him, with his love. And that really shows, doesn't it, when we love others, and even the worst of people. Because they will see, especially the poor in spirit, they will see that your heart cannot be bought with outside influences and peer pressure and flattery and pomp. Because Christ has your heart. Christ has your treasure. Christ is your exceeding joy, and that will show. Hence the Apostle's words in our concluding verse, in verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. The apostle here leaves us with both a warning and a blessing, doesn't he? A warning that if our judgment be without mercy, as in the case of the Pharisee the publican, if this is the case, God will have judgment without mercy upon such souls that think they're observing the law, but really that really is not the law of love that is in Christ. It has no power. There's no mercy and truth and justice, and so if that is the case, God will have judgment without mercy upon such souls. How's that Pharisee who looked down upon that person, who looked down upon that publican, and looked as if that publican was more deserving of God's grace. He was more deserving of God's blessing. He was more deserving of these things, and looked down upon the publican. But the law of love, you see, looks upon our fellow man and sees nothing different in that person, albeit the grace of God and the love of God. For who makes us differ one from another? And so the law of love looks upon the person and loves. But those who keep the royal law of love, which is in Jesus Christ, and do justly and love mercy, have much cause to rejoice. And I hope and pray that we all can say that. That is our aim, as it were. Yeah, I know sometimes we do fall short because we have the old nature, but is that our aim? To love our enemies and to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. We are no longer under God's judgment, are we, beloved? Because of Christ's mercy upon our souls, we're no longer under God's judgment. Let us therefore henceforth be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. Let us reflect him to those around us, as it were. Let's never be persuaded. And so remember, these words were not only said by the Apostle James to not only be of a protection to the early church in terms of the decision-making within their assemblies, in terms of their growth, that we're growing, But also to make sure that you have these principles in your hearts, that you're governed by this law of love that's in Christ. And so it's important that as a church fellowship, a small, young, pioneering church, that we grow, we don't look upon the outward so much, but we always try to get to the heart of the matter, really, and that's how we judge. We look beyond that, we judge righteously, and we love mercy, and we do justly, we walk humbly with our God, but also the principles. If we've got the principles in place, that's really what's going to matter, that our faith matches its works, that what we say in terms of love and all these other things, that establishes itself on how we conduct ourselves as well in terms of our judgment, and that it's done with the law of love in Christ, that doesn't look upon the outward and doesn't esteem one because of how they dress or their rank in society or anything else, that judges righteously, makes the right decisions, spiritual decisions, honouring to the Lord God. And so let us take these truths on board for his great name's sake. Amen. Amen. Shall we sing together?